grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson. I'll pick up just a couple of verses. Verse 26. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands." The meditation, the sermon, comes out of our collective experience of the last month and a half, trying to orient and figure out how to act, how to make our way through a whole new set of risks, how to manage day after day without doing all those things that come with moving around freely. And then thinking about the disciples and their disorientation and their trying to figure out what was going on and how many things in life had changed completely, permanently. So, a beginning sentence that I don't know how it's going to come across, but it's a wonderful thing when everything is thrown into confusion and we are completely off balance and do not know how to take what is happening. Wonderful thing. Well, sometimes. What the disciples were experiencing was one of those times when it is wonderful. And sometimes depends on exactly what's happening, whether it's good or bad. But the level of disorientation can be the same, whichever direction things are heading us. And this is, by the way, one of my favorite proofs of the truth of what the Bible says about Jesus dying and rising. Think about it. One of the things police watch for, detectives watch for, to find the guilty person, the perpetrator, is this. Exactly who didn't act surprised and disoriented the way that you would expect? That's huge in investigations. Because with huge events that change our lives profoundly, we've got a hard time sorting them out. We have a set pattern of how we react and relate to things in life. We respond in ways that are expected. But when something comes along that is completely out of our experience, out of our expectations, we act confused. And I numbered five stages of confusion and disorientation. Number one, we refuse to believe it. Number two, then we go back and forth not knowing how to think about it. And once we're trying to figure out how to connect our thinking to it, we still don't have it emotionally connected. And third, we have fits and starts of learning how to think and act in a new way, and they're mixed together with going back to all of the old and familiar. Number four, then we try out the new pattern. And we do it with a very high level of uncertainty of whether we're doing it in a way that fits. Finally, we realize that we cannot go back to the old ways. No one saw, no one was ready for anything that happened from Good Friday to Easter. The disciples are thrown off balance repeatedly. But as Easter comes along, it's a new beginning. As God brought his truth and his work of salvation into the world. The gospel is a message of truth combined with a person. The truth is Jesus, who has put away the wrath of God. The truth is Jesus, who has broken down the wall of separation between God and us. The truth is Jesus, who is our Lamb of God, going to the cross, bearing our sins, suffering in our place. And the truth is Jesus rising from the tomb. This is a new beginning. And it is not only a new beginning for the world. God bringing the new creation into being, the kingdom of Christ into being, and beginning to spread that kingdom through the world. It's also a new beginning for each one of us. It is different because what is true and what is real is connected to a person who has done something without precedent, but it is connected to this person. And as long as it is connected to the risen from the dead Jesus Christ, that truth will be the victorious theme as long as Jesus lives. How long does he live? For all eternity. The message connected with Jesus is this. From the cross, it is finished. Shortly before that, from the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. On Easter morning, through the angels. He is not here, for he has risen just as he said. And this week, celebrating Jesus' words, peace be with you. And he showed them his hands and his side. And then that week later, to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Which, by the way, there could be a whole sermon on that, how it is different seeing with your eyeballs and seeing with your finger. It all comes together in Jesus. Forgiveness of sins, learning about the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, knowing that God the Father loves the world and began the plan of salvation, planning to send his only begotten Son to suffer and die, to forgive our sins, to reconcile us and to bring us home to the love and blessing of the Heavenly Father. But, don't you love buts? But there were the disciples. Hearing that Christ is risen, and hearing that over and over from different ones who had seen him, they begin with denial. In the upper room, locking the doors, acting as if it hadn't happened at all. Second stage. After they had seen Jesus, they tell Thomas. But where are they 7 days later? In the upper room, huddled together, with the doors locked. They haven't figured it out, have they? They haven't integrated this new truth of the resurrection into their thinking, emotions, and behavior. After Jesus came to them again, they were sure. They were sure of the resurrection of Jesus, and when Thomas, who was that one holdout, when he said, "My Lord and my God," very significant, because the one who is reluctant to believe in such a way has now been convinced. So they were sure. They were sure of the resurrection of Jesus, sure of the forgiveness of sins, sure of the price being paid in full, sure that Jesus is the Savior and that there is eternal life in Him. And this is the message of salvation for all the nations. We're in stage three here. Fits and starts. And what did they do in John chapter 21? You can read John chapter 21. They went back to fishing. Or at least tried to. Fourth, the book of Acts starts with them asking, if the end was coming right then. And after they saw Jesus ascend into heaven, what did they do? They weren't quite sure what to do. So there they were, standing there staring up into the sky until two angels explained this to them. And then, see, step by step, they're going through the exact pattern of confusion of those who are overwhelmed by a world-changing event that they didn't plan, didn't make happen, didn't imagine or dream up, and they are confronted with the risen Lord Jesus, and the response, step by step, is exactly what you would expect. It isn't until the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost that they finally began to step out, living in the age of Easter. That's an interesting phrase, living in the age of Easter. Living in the time of the resurrection. Because it started. It began with Jesus rising from the dead. It continues on as everyone who believes in Jesus does not die, but has their soul preserved, brought safely into the presence of the living, risen from the dead Lord Jesus. And then comes the end. When these bodies rise and are joined once again to these souls, and we rejoice for all eternity. But let's call it that. From the final chapters of the Gospels on through the rest of the New Testament, it's all being lived in the time of the resurrection, in the age of Easter. And everything has changed. We also are living in the age of Easter. Are we going through those stages of disorientation? As the message of salvation, as the news that Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia. As that news spreads through the world and works its way down into our souls, changing the way that we think and feel and relate to religion, God, salvation, forgiveness, having new life in Jesus, and being sent by Jesus with a message that can completely change all those around us. Yes, we struggle. Yes, we have fits and starts. But the living Lord Jesus is not done with us and continues His work. By His words and promises and by the work of the Holy Spirit, He continues to bring His Easter resurrection and the new life in Him, to bring that home to us, patiently, persistently bringing us along into this time of the resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen.